We'll go ahead and get started. I have no idea the exact number. I don't think anybody does, but there are thousands of denominations, and we're going to go over every single one in painstaking detail. So we better open with prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your church, that ultimately we are all part of one body, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the captain, the finisher, the head of the church, and the reason for our salvation, the basis. We thank you that we have the faith to believe that we then can gather together in local branch offices and just worship you every, usually Sunday morning. So bless this time. Help us to remember what makes us Christians and not be so concerned about some of the minutiae that we often fight over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, that just by that prayer reminded me. One of the reasons, when I was on the National Board of Ministerial Standing for the Evangelical Free Church, I've told you this before, one of the things we were responsible for was pastoral discipline. You know, pastors want to be ordained. We are agreeing to be held accountable. And so we would have to look into some sometimes pretty messy stuff that it usually never, rarely ever was about doctrine or bad belief. It was M&M, money and morals, you know, where they would get themselves in trouble with the church budget and the church secretary. So maybe the church secretary who had the budget. I don't know. You got the double M&M. All right, let me open with just a question. And this is a good time to share. Why, growing up, you know, not so much now, although we can talk about now, why did you go to the church you went to? A lot of us parents, okay, why did they go? And grandpa, parents. Okay, why'd your great-grandparents? Okay, but so a family tradition. And how far back does that go? Okay. Very good. And were you Missouri Synod? I mean, I know that about you. As opposed to Wisconsin Synod, who think you guys are liberals. I mean, you know, but, and we'll talk about that because Lutheran, what does Lutheran mean? And there are different flavors of Lutheran. There are hundreds of flavors of Baptist. You know, they can't agree on anything. How about anybody ever? I told you once, let me tell you again. Please. Now I want them to hear it. I've already heard this. Well, and okay, so historically, but that's perfect because Scotland, John Knox came out of the Reformation, the Scottish Kirk, which predominantly was very more Reformed, or we would say Calvinistic. And so the Reformed church really was heavy, is heavy in Scotland, so Presbyterians, things like that. So almost a national roots to the Scottish Kirk way back, you know, in the 1500s. John. There's only one kind of Baptist in Florida. There's Southern and there's Southern. Yeah, okay. But initially, and if you heard that, how many of us, because that was the closest church, or we were in a little town, that was the only church in town. Other, Yvonne. Okay. Others?
My parents did not go to church, and they did not openly support my going, but they also did not stop me. They were kind of neutral on it. But I had a girlfriend in junior high. She and her mother went to the Presbyterian church in the neighborhood, and they started picking me up. And I, after that, went on my own. I was the only member in my family that went to church.
Went. Okay. Others, Sue.
I have a family history, and both sides of my family were Puritans. They were like colonial days. And my grandma, I had two grandmas, one had a liquor store and the other one.
They're not Puritans. Come on. Hard rock. Is that like rock and roll? I can't remember the whole joke, but there's, you know, often in humor, there's an element of truth. But, you know, Catholics do not recognize Protestants at the communion table. You know, other denominations don't recognize, and Baptists don't recognize each other in the liquor store. Bill. Those Jayhawkers kicked the Catholics out of town. Okay, how many of you have Catholic backgrounds? We have several folks in the church congregation, and sometimes that's, you know, goes back family roots. Okay, so anybody else, please. That's Did you take communion? Oh. Actually, and just sort of humorous, but probably people don't even realize why, but the King of England, King Charles, made big news because he prayed with the Pope. And there are a lot of people in England now saying he needs to step down from the throne for praying with the Pope, because he is the titular head of the Church of England, which goes back to King Henry VIII, that I'll start my own church so I can divorce my wife. Janet.
Don't worry, we have Baptist friends who always call us as Lutherans, closet Catholics.
Now, which denomination has the best potlucks? Who does casseroles the best? Lutherans. Lutherans do a hot dish. That's that's a sort of a Baptist joke that, you know, these young hipster pastors, that they always got to talk about how smoking hot their wives are. Anybody else? You were born a Nazarene. Came out of the womb and they said, Nazarene. Okay, yep. So really family roots. That's a mixed marriage right there. Jim. Okay. Well, okay, and we'll get into that more as we go through the different flavors, but just because there are churches, there are different kinds of churches of Christ, and then there's, I will say, non-Christian groups, the United Church of Christ. Totally different. Churches of God, Churches of God Anderson, churches, you know, so there are, what's in a name? We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But also now here you've heard the joke, you know, about the guy that goes to heaven, and they're going through past all the rooms, St. Peter's showing them all the rooms, and this is the room of the, you know, the Methodists, this is the room of the Pentecostals, they're having a party. And then he goes by, you know, fill in the denomination, and be very quiet as we go by the Baptist room. They think they're the only ones here. I saw another hand. And we'll believe me, you'll get more than you want on that. We'll talk about that. So now, anybody else wanna? I mean, I went when I was a little baby. I went where my folks took me. I didn't have much of a choice, but I was baptized in the Anglican Church, or no, the Episcopal Church, when I was a wee little lad. But then when we moved, we ended up. I think we went to a Presbyterian Church. When in one town, then we moved to the town where George and I grew up. And it's sort of funny. Apparently, my grandpa had helped build the building of the Presbyterian Church. And, you know, my dad's a doctor in town. And so when we showed up in the Hillsboro, our town, apparently the Presbyterian pastor showed up and started, you know, now we expect, we will see you Sunday. Well, we, you know, almost the expectation that Rademachers will go to the Presbyterian Church. Well, if you want to know where I get the stubbornness, my dad was stubborn enough that he thinks I'm going to that church, we're going to the Methodist Church. So I grew up, you know, most of my formative years in the United Methodist Church. And then when I went off to college, now this gets sort of to my next point. I was maturing a little more and realized that, you know, if any church ought to use the book, who tends to use the book? Baptists. And so when I went off to college, and you know, when I went to church, which wasn't very regular, I realized I probably ought to go to a Baptist, because that was, I knew the name, because they used the Bible. And then Georgia, your dad, you know, was very involved in the Southern Baptist Church. And when Georgia got saved, you know, she ended up, was it at that church with Pastor Dave? Yeah. And so she was Southern Baptist when she started going to the church, and that's where we were married. So, you know, this now, and I tell you that too. How many of you would say it was just purely location, and then, or something like friendliness of people, you know, just I like the vibe of that church, versus how many of you, you know, loaded question here, how many of you went to the church because doctrine, you know, that's, you know, I mean, that's my world. So that's why I think as weirdly as I do, doctrine is very important. That do you even know what that church believes? Do you care? Or is it just, and that's one of the reasons, you know, like Kate was saying, that community fellowship of Christians, all us nut jobs are welcome. So, you know, that's, so it's not so much denominational purity that, you know, it's any denomination is welcome, you know, and with me as pastor, you know, I want to emphasize what makes us Christians, you know, so I like the term non-denominational. We don't have any one particular denomination, but we emphasize the absolutes, which we'll talk more about. Jill. Yeah, they've caused trouble everywhere they've gone. they're you know, the post office pictures, you know, the profile shot of Jim and Jill are in many churches. Debbie. Okay, and this is really, you know, sort of the way I look at it. Interdenominational, which is how CFC was formed, you know, and that was one of the providential with Pastor Herschel especially, but before Pastor Herschel became the first pastor here, you know, with Merv Johnson, Jansen, you know, some of our history, you know, we celebrated, 20 years last October, which was a lot of fun, but emphasized the interdenomination, which is sort of the way Herschel meant it, and the way I looked at it is, we're just a community church. You come, you know, no matter what your background, and we're going to worship together. Okay, there's a lot of health to that. And one of the salads, the sermons I remember, or people have told me that were so memorable, and Jim and Joe probably remember this. When Herschel got up and made a salad, he sat up, do you remember that? And he made a salad, and he, you know, all the components in the salad were, you know, now here's some tomatoes. These are the Lutherans, you know. And so the salad maintained their individuality, but were in the salad. Okay. For this, you know, from where I come from, you know, Herschel and I were great friends, but we had some major theological differences. And one of the things that I I personally don't like the term interdenominational just because it can sort of emphasize, well, we're all different. We happen to go here and meet here on Sunday. I prefer the term non-denominational. We're not going to emphasize, I don't care what denomination you are. We are Christians first. And so I'm going to emphasize, instead of the salad, all the individual components, I want to emphasize the bowl. What holds us together? Those are the absolutes. Christ is the Savior. The Bible is the Word of God. You must be saved by faith. You know, so non-denominational to me emphasizes the absolutes, the core beliefs of Christianity. And we'll talk a little bit about more about those in a little bit. But so we're going to mainly keep the Word of God central, you know, instead of, okay, I've got to preach five different sermons. Now, you Lutherans, you believe this about that. You Catholics come at it from this way. So it's a unity thing for me. But so interdenominational, you keep your denomination, but you're going to this church. Non-denominational is you're a member of this church, and you may have Lutheran background, and that's great. But here now you are a member of Community Fellowship of Christians, which I love. What a great name. Community, you know, we're in this community. We're to be salt and light here. Fellowship, that's that word, koinonia, but a fellowship of, you know, and for us, fellowship means food. So we have lots of food of Christians. The only requirement to be a member here really is to have a profession of faith, and, you know, and get by the rigorous, well, we don't want to scare Yvonne. Yvonne wants to talk to the pastor about being a member, and her check hasn't cashed yet, so I don't know if she can be a member. But you have to be a Christian to be a part of the Community Fellowship of Christians. So, you know, I make, you know, and this is what I've done for over 30 years. You know, this is my area of study. And so I'm wired for doctrine and things. And we have fun talking about different denominations. And I have certain beliefs that, you know, you've picked up on some of my hot button issues. And there are some denominational distinctives for me where I would say, yeah, I'm like them when it comes to this. And that's one of the reasons as Evangelical Free Church why I am part of that and ordained by them is it's they don't even like calling themselves a denomination, which that to me is a little disingenuous. They call themselves a movement, but keep the main thing the main thing. And so it's we're not so hung up on denominational practices. The big things for the E-Free Church are the Word of God. Inerrant Word of God is one of the primary, you know, major sticking points. You know, and of course, the salvation through Christ alone. You know, so it sort of keeps the main thing the main thing. It's almost as close to being a non-denominational church that still has a headquarters. I used to, the former president of the denomination was a friend, and I used to, he liked me because of my military especially, and I used to talk in military terms. Well, how are things up here at headquarters? And he used to get, so we're not headquarters. Because supposedly, Christ is the head of the church. Each local congregation, E-Free churches in the E-Free, are autonomous under Christ. Then the districts support the local churches, and the national office, the headquarters, is there to support. Now, I'm seeing they're trying to invert that, you know, where we, you know, headquarters is going to tell you what to do. I'm a Rademacher. I don't think so, you know. And so it just, and names of churches, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, or maybe next time. You know, what's in a name? And there are a lot of church names that give you some historical understanding of where they came from. So, and I'm sorry, I saw another hand. I'm going to quote a Quaker today during the message, but you know, I wasn't, obviously I'm looking back and I'm coming into that, but that's one of the things that it's neat what God has done. And Herschel, he was the perfect, you know, just that's in the very, yeah. Okay. Now, Jim and Jill were members 1 and 2, I believe. Oh. Do you have to bow down to her? Genuflect. So, but it's, you know, that's a lot of history even for this local church family. But my point right now is, where have we come from? Because we're going to be talking about Christian, not, you know, not non-Christian denomination. So nobody's really took the bait about, although Jill, I like the way you described it, that, you know, you went to a church for whatever reason, but that sort of became your theology. You know, now, see, you know, me being as annoying as I am. What? I'm sorry? Well, but studying and, you know, what's focused and understanding the history and you know, so obviously this course could go on for years, but we're just going to do a broad overview. But I'm an analyzer. And so when I, you know, when somebody... I'm a Baptist. Oh, so you believe in this historical Baptist. That's how the Baptists were formed. Oh, no, I don't believe that. You mean you like the worship, the service, the friendliness of the people. And that's, you know, that's goes to who we are as people. And none of you folks, of course, or me, hopefully. But, you know, in America, the consumer mentality, I go to a church that's going to do things my way. And if I don't like the color of the pastor's tie, I don't care how orthodox he is, I'm out of here. And or he doesn't wear a tie. If you remember Charlie Reddick, if you remember sweet little Charlie, who was here years ago, he used to, every Sunday, used to, you know, back when I was always wearing a suit and tie back then, and he used to always comment on, gee, you look awfully, you know, pastoral, I guess. And then when I'd come dressed like this when I wasn't preaching, he'd say, man, I like this. Now, you know, you look like a normal person now. And then Darlene O'Brien, I remember. In fact, next week I'll probably wear my clerical collar for the Reformation. And I wore my clerical collar one time for once. And Darlene said, you look like a real minister now. I saw another hand.
You were talking about questioning theology, being raised, as you guys were saying, you tend to
Yeah, and that's... Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and once again, back to Jill. And that shapes us. Now I have to realize this is my area of expertise. And so I tend to think very precisely. And so I have to realize that you, the unwashed masses, you people, your hearts are a lot better than your minds. And we may, and by going somewhere else, we might recognize some differences. Well, that's not the way, you know, maybe I can't express it and using big words, you know, theological words, but I realize there's a difference there. And, you know, in my perverted sense of humor, and when it comes back to interdenominational, there are some doctrines that theologically are mutually exclusive. And so an interdenominational church, you know, if you knew what they supposedly believe, you wouldn't sit next to each other when it comes to, you know, thinking. But aren't you glad the body of Christ allows us to sit? You know, the old saying, and I don't know if I'm quoting that, maybe in the sermon, but people don't know how much care how much you know until they know how much you care. So churches aren't seminary classrooms, which tends to be one of my faults. I tend to look at it that way because I just fascinate history, theology, you know. But this isn't a seminary classroom. This is a church for worship. Now, we should have good doctrine. It should be biblical. But, you know, I realize sometimes I get in the weeds over. Now, you have to learn this, you know, this four-foot-long word and know what that means and the history of it, why it's important. Why do you care? And you're going, we don't care. And I'm saying, you do care, and here's why. So thank you for being gracious. Any other... Steph.
My faith that matters was just, you know, my dad was raised Presbyterian, a Bible believing Presbyterian, and I trust that too. My mom was from another Methodist. And so when they were getting married, they first visited the Presbyterian church. My mother said, this is a little too dry for me. This is her preference. And so my dad was a Baptist church, and realized it's important for our family to worship together. So my dad became Baptist.
Good.
And
yeah, and that's, and you know, just sort of the elements of truth, but critiques, if you will. Presbyterian Reformed churches tend to be, you know, if you want to use caricatures, I don't agree with them, but you know, that's, yeah, they're very academic, theological, dry, you know, boring if you don't like theology. Why do I care about, you know, the fight between Zwingli and Luther? You know, who cares? Can't we all just get along? You know, and that's, and there's some truth to that, as opposed to maybe more charismatic churches. Love, man. Let's swing from the chandeliers. We don't care. You know, and that, one of the jokes a friend used to say is, in a Pentecostal church, it makes it easy on the preacher. You don't have to study. Just go up and stand behind the holy desk, and this Holy Spirit's going to speak to you right there, and you just start uttering what you hear. That's a caricature, but the idea of anti-intellectual, very experiential. And so there's, you know, sort of spectrum of those historically. So, anybody else? You know, we're talking together. I'm not lecturing today so much, although I have a whole thing of. But that's good, and that's something I need to realize. That, you know what? Shut up, Dieter. Yeah, great point. But now let's continue. Anybody else? Do you sort of understand what I'm getting at? Why did you choose the church? And there are many reasons. Very few, and I actually would include myself in this just because the way I'm wired and how, if you want to use terms, I was called into the ministry. Things that were important to me became, I ended up in a denomination because of the doctrine. And, you know, and as opposed to I think I've told you, you know, our family, my great-grandpa Frank Rademacher was a Methodist circuit rider, came over from Germany. So we grew up in a very German and Methodist German, which is not Lutheran, Methodist Germans in Southern Illinois. And that was, so my grandpa Rademacher, my dad's dad, you know, grew up in that Methodist denominational section. Well, he rebelled and built that Presbyterian church. And then my dad rebelled and went back to the United Methodist Church at that time. So, any other comments? Well, let's look at least one Bible verse. Actually, we'll look at a few. Jim, would you look up Galatians 3:28? Kelvin, would you look up 1 Corinthians 12:13? And all of us, please turn to Ephesians 4. And sort of hold your place at Ephesians 4, and maybe I'll get through some of the introduction stuff so we don't have to do it next week. But, you know, just a little bit of 2 weeks ago, we looked at the words Christian, church. Those words are still up there. Christian in New Testament times, the I-A-N suffix, Christian, meant of the party of. So there were Herodians, which was more political, but parties of Herod, who were then, of course, loyal to Rome, because Herod was a puppet king of Rome during the New Testament times. So Christian, of the party of Christ. Ecclesia, you've heard the word ecclesiastical, but that's where we get our word church, the called out ones, called out of the world to be of the party of Christ. So the church is ultimately the people, the body of Christ. And New Testament, the word Christian is only used three times. And it was originally a derogatory term, probably where Antioch, you know, they were good at making fun of stuff. The Christians were first called, or the church was first called Christians in Antioch, Acts 11:26. You know, so, you know, they're making fun of all these people that are running after that Jewish rabbi. Let's call them Christians. And after a while, hey, that's a badge of honor we'll take. We're Christians. And then we talked, you know, about historically what the church is. For example, the Lutherans in the Augsburg Confession, the church is the congregation, the gathering of saints, set apart ones, you know, not saints. None of you people are saints. In the English term, you're all saints if you're a Christian, because we are set apart, you know, as part of the body of Christ. That's what that holy ones, in the sense of only because of what Christ has done. The church is the congregation of saints in which the gospel is rightly taught and the sacraments rightly administered. So the gospel, salvation by Christ, the word of God, all that's included in that, and the sacraments are practiced. You know, at your Lions Club meeting, you don't have baptism and the Lord's Supper. There's something a little deeper there for Christians. And then the Roman Catholics, of course, have a little different definition. The visible church that descended from Peter and the apostles is the true church. So Roman Catholics are, you know, very attached to, and the Pope is the successor of Peter. And in Matthew, where Jesus, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and I will give you the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom of heaven." So when papal heraldry, you know, the shield and coat of arms, a lot of times you'll see keys, because the Pope is the vicar of Christ on earth, the direct descendant of the Apostle Peter, and he holds the keys to everyone's salvation. So you can see how important that would have been, you know, long until those filthy Protestants rebelled in much later, which looks like all of us here, you know, we have Reformation roots coming out of the splitting off of the Roman Catholic Church. And we looked at, when it comes to pluralism, you know, the difference between exclusivism, there's only one way to salvation, that's what we are as Christians. Inclusivism, that would almost be the Roman Catholic, well, that would be the Roman Catholic Church today, since Vatican II. How many of you remember on the news Vatican II back in the 60s? You know, that was a big deal, that the Roman Catholic Church under Pius the 12th started it, but then John the 23rd and other popes during the 60s. But that was some of the loosening up, you might say, of Catholic doctrine that, you know, okay, maybe some other people will be saved too. And anybody that claims to be Christian, the Catholics at Vatican II called them separated brethren. But you can be saved because of what Christ did, even though you're wrong about your theology. And then full-blown pluralism, you know, is that's the world today where, you know, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, everybody has their own path to God. And we looked at it, I won't go through them, but this, why in our postmodern and modernist thinking, once again, worldviews have shaped culture, politics, yes, but culture, which has influenced the church probably more than we have influenced culture, but rejection in our worldview, you know, why we're just too sophisticated to believe that there's only one way, exclusivism. That smacks of dogmatism and know-it-all and narrow-mindedness. You know, more on that, it goes right along with the sermon. So all that has influenced the differences now between, denominations, Christianity. Why don't we all go to the, you know, the same church? Well, Ephesians chapter 4 looked at these verses last week a little bit, but beginning in verse 4, there is one body, the body of Christ, one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, indwelling that one body, the people of the church, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So the unity of Christianity. Now, are we unified now? Well, we've talked about it, and we have a pretty agreeable bunch of unwashed masses here. But you know, there are denominations that really go, you know, so Christians are fighting with other Christians, and we don't need the Muslims to attack us. We attack ourselves. So the idea of unity is we're going to be looking at what unifies us as Christians. Now, what flavor of Christianity, what denomination, we will look at those, some of those distinctives. And I won't get too much, I won't get into the history of why that was an issue unless you want, but you know, what are the major, on the major topics, what are the beliefs of the different denominations? Who had Galatians 3:28? Jim. Okay, so that was our Galatians study, but human differences, social status, biological sex, all those, Jew and Gentile, which was a major division in the early church, we are all one in Christ Jesus, the head of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Okay, so that's then in Paul writing, we went through 1 Corinthians, writing to a very divided secular church, if you will, and he was emphasizing the unity that Christian baptism, by the baptism, ultimately the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit behind that baptism, unites us into the body of Christ. So that's why, you know, we'll talk a little bit about it. Different modes of baptism and things like that, but baptism and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that brings us all into the church, the body of Christ, and so emphasizing the unity. Now here's a, it's a shows a theological position, but I would argue a biblical position. What day did the church begin? The Lutheran says Pentecost. That Lutheran says Pentecost. Baptist, the church didn't begin till you got saved. But biblically, in Acts chapter 2, I would argue that the church, you know, was... became, you know, after the death and resurrection of Christ. So now there's the power of the resurrection at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit, you know, the story came down in a special way, and 3,000 people were converted in Jerusalem on the feast, you know, that would have been the Feast of Pentecost, which was one of the major pilgrimage feasts. So all the Jews from all over the world would come back to Jerusalem, and you know, then all of a sudden now this strange offshoot of Judaism, these people known as Christians, that church was officially started. Now there I won't, but the word for ecclesia, church, I think I shared, that's also the word in the Old Testament for the assembly or the gathering. And so there are those who would say the church has been around since Adam and Eve's time, basically. I disagree with that biblically. But, you know, the God's people, Israel, was Israel, not the church. Now there are Jews and Gentiles. In the church, there is also Israel, secular Israel, going on right now, but any Jewish believers, if you know Giles' friend, Benny Friedman, a Messianic Jew, He is part of the church. Even though he's a Jewish believer, he is a Jew. He's part of the church. So, I think we're a little late. Any final comments? We'll stop there. I will hand out your shiny brochures because some of you only came for your toy. And John wants one before he leaves. Are you going to read it? You're not taking it if you're not going to read it. Huh? Pat's going to read it? The pamphlet. You will not. John doesn't read books. So, Debbie, can I ask you to be Vanna and hand out the... And I will say these, please take one. I would suggest one per couple and bring them back, because next week we'll have new people, we'll have some for them. But, you know, please don't do like my cadets did. And, you know, I bought them all books. You know, I bought them for them. And then as I was walking around the campus at the Air Force Academy, I saw all these books thrown away. It's like, well, don't take it if you're not going to read it. So, we'll start looking at those next week. That will be our outline. I like this. It's, you know, very clear, shiny, a good summary of what we're going to talk about. So, any final comments, personal abuse, anything like that? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that despite our diversity of backgrounds, we are all brothers and sisters here at this unique place called Community Fellowship of Christians. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for what the original founders and pastors did just to start something new for your glory here in the Rocky Mountains. Thank you that we can be part of it, and thank you for the diverse and multifaceted nature of your people who are part of the true universal church. And may we appreciate more some of the differences, recognize the good thinking, maybe sometimes some of the not so biblical thinking, but ultimately we are saved not by what we know, but because of your marvelous grace, which you pour out on us through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.